Lee is going to lead us to the Lord in prayer today.
Before I do, I got a scripture for y'all. So I've been chewing the cud on this for like a week, and I feel like I know why. I'm supposed to read it to you guys. But it's Psalm 116, verse 6 through 9. It says, "The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, and I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living."
Amen. Hallelujah.
Father, we honor you so much, God. I thank you for this. I thank you for these people, God. I thank you for everything that you've done in all of our lives, God. We know it's miraculous, Father, as everything you do is, Father. I pray for any healing, any miracle that's needed in this service, God, and by anyone, Father. And I pray that you prepare their hearts, God, as Pastor gives a word for them. And I pray that it's your words, God, not his, Father. And I pray that everyone here may know you in a deeper and intimate way, Father. I pray that you help them release the strongholds in their mind, God. I pray that you continue to walk beside us, God. And no matter what, Father, make yourself known in all of our lives, God, so that way no one can ever doubt, Father. Because we know as long as we walk with you, your word will be fulfilled, Father. And Father, I know anybody is seeking a healing, God. You know them. You know them and you will touch them. And by your stripes, we are healed, Father. So, Father, I pray that everyone here may know you. And if they don't, Father, I pray that they reach out, and they see and taste your goodness, Father. And I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Turning your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, we're going to read verses 8 through 12, and then we're going to drop down to verse 18 and read through 21. It's full of names. And so if you ever get in an argument with somebody from another church and say, "That's not the way our pastor pronounces that," you just assume that your pastor pronounces it wrong and they're right, okay? So we'll be safe at that point. I titled this, "God Desires Mighty Men." God desires mighty men. Today in our churches, we tend to preach to the lowest common denominator. Today we are raising the bar to the highest denomination. Not a denomination like you're thinking, but the highest standard of God. What does God want? And am I willing to give it? Am I willing to be made willing to give it? So if when I preach this, I know some of you don't like it when I get loud. And I will tell you that it's not my intention to get loud today, but this is large in my spirit. So if I'm screaming at you, I'm not screaming at you, I'm screaming for you, okay? All right, so verse 8 says, "These are the names of the mighty men whom David had, Josheb, Bashibeth, the Tachamite." Now, Treva, you've been talking all morning. Would you want to read the scripture for me? "Chief among the captains, he was called Adino the Esnite because he killed 800 men at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo." You lose any way you pronounce it. It's either doo-doo or dodo. So I would say doo-doo, but I feel like a five-year-old when I say that. So we're going to call this Dodo, okay? Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahorite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistine had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Now drop down to verse 18. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, the chief of another three, he lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of the three? Therefore he became the captain, however he did not attain to the first three. Benaniah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabiz, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did, and won a name among three mighty men. Amen. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and are thankful for your word. Father, I pray now, take the word off of this page and bury it in our heart. God, I pray, Lord, I just feel like we are going to be challenged by the Spirit of God today. And Lord, you are calling us up. You're calling us up into battle. And so, Father, I pray today, let the answer be yes, God. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you're my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul gives a great suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. He's telling the body of Christ, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There's many, many people today all over our land that's going to a gym in the mornings, in the day. And they're lifting all these big, powerful weights to try to get strong in their body. And there's value to that. I'm not putting that down in any way. There's value to that. But not nearly as much value as being strong in the Lord. We must be strong in the Lord. Good to see you guys. Wonderful to see you. The Lord wants us to answer the call today of becoming strong in the Lord. You know, when I'm strong in the Lord, oftentimes I'm weak in the flesh. See, when I'm strong in my flesh, many times I'm weak in the Lord. So if you've got a strong will, if you've got a strong mind, and you like it your way, you're going to have trouble. Because the Lord says, I'm not calling you to do it your way. I'm calling you to do it my way. And my way says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The 90-pound weakling can be strong. How many grandmas have you ever met that said, that's the woman I want praying for me? Why? Because when she prays, she reaches heaven. Why? Because that little weakling of a woman, maybe 90 years old, she knows how to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There's no strength in the body, but she's strong in Jesus. Why? Because she has spent time with him. I think of Maxine Brown. Maxine Brown was a very frail woman. But buddy, I'm telling you, she knew her maker. She could pray. Used to love to hear her pray. In Acts chapter 16, Paul comments about David. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Oh, come on. Will Jesus say that about you? Listen to the last words. Who will do all my will? He's not selective. He doesn't listen to the Lord and says, oh, I like that. I'll do that. And then other times he says, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. The Lord didn't ask you what you wanted to do. He gave you a command. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. John was the first one on the scene announcing Jesus. And he says, from his day until this present day, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. My commentary said this: following and serving Jesus takes spiritual courage. That's really what I'm talking to you about today. Are you courageous enough to follow Him? Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Following and serving Jesus takes spiritual courage, faithfulness, power, and determination. It requires constantly seeking for or making ways for the gospel to go forth, knowing that it will face opposition. You take a stand for Jesus, and I promise you, you'll have 10 coming against you. It's just the day in which we live, right? But I'm telling you, as we get closer to the end, the enemy is getting stronger. The enemy is, when I was a child, it seemed like the devil hid himself. He did not come out boldly. He was slippery. He came in quietly. Today, he's lost the shyness. He is very bold. And unfortunately, where he became bold, the church became quiet. And it's time, according to the Word, it's time that the church becomes courageous and begin. You know, we all love the verse that says that Jesus came, you quoted it, Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we all say, thank you, because I was one of them. Right? But there's another verse. He says also, and I think it's in Peter, he says that I came to defeat the works of the devil. See, we all talk about, oh, we got to go out and we got to win souls, and we do. But part of the job of the church is to defeat the work of the enemy. How can we defeat it until we stand up against it? Say, these things are not right. My brother said, cats meow and dogs bark and sinners sin. That's right, isn't it? Let's not worry about them. Let's worry about what's the house of God going to do? What are you? Let's just narrow this down. Don't worry about your neighbor. What am I going to do? Am I going to be one of the mighty men? Can I be one of the mighty men? Ladies, you might be saying, I'm not a man. And that's okay. We need mighty women in the house of God, right? In Luke chapter 5, verse 18, there's four friends that bring their friend to Jesus on a stretcher. And the house was so full they couldn't get him in. And I could just see in my mind that most of us would have said, I'm so sorry. We sure tried. You know, we knew that he could do something in your life, and we tried to get you to Christ. But the house is full. What do you expect from us? I can't do any more than this. But one of those Joes got the idea. You know what? We could climb up on the roof. And we could tear the roof off of this place. And we could let our friend down and put him right in front of Jesus. Somebody figure out where he's at in the crowd. Because we're going to tear off the part of the roof that when we drop him down, Jesus is going to have to deal with him. When's the last time that you tore the roof off for somebody? When's the last time you got so anxious in prayer that you said, I'm not leaving until I reach heaven? I'm telling you, Christians, we don't do like we used to do. And it's time we get violent. And I'm not talking about violent personally. I'm talking about violent in the Spirit of God. We need courage. Courage is seeing and seizing God's ordained opportunity and then pushing forward. quit being a mealy-mouthed Christian. I think it's... And when I was a kid, we would have called it a panty waste. Right? Don't be a panty waste. Let's be somebody that's got some courage in the house of God. So I want to talk to you just very briefly about some of the characteristics that I saw in these men. Number one, we reproduce who we are, not who we want to be. You see, these were David's mighty men. Do you remember David? He slew a bear. He killed a lion to prepare him for a Goliath. When all of the army was paralyzed with fear, David said, "Who is that uncircumcised Philistine? I'll take him on." And what did David raise up? 30 men just like himself. I told my Sunday school today, and I embarrassed two little girls in there, which I'm going to do it again. We reproduce who we are. And when I thought about that, I immediately thought of Emma and Ella. These girls are a reflection of Carla and Jason. You may respect Carla and Jason for a lot of things, but if you ever get down to the nitty-gritty, why do I like them? One of the things that's going to come up is because of their daughters. Why? Because they reproduced who they are. Good people, faithful people, people that love Jesus. Who are you reproducing? Say, "Well, I'm not." Healthy people reproduce. You are pouring into someone. Are you pouring gossip? Are you pouring the word of life? I'm preaching better than you're shouting. We reproduce who we are. Look around and see, are there cowards all around me? I will say, we got a compliment yesterday from Bobby at Compassion Church, and he said, "I love the attitude and the atmosphere of your church." He said, "You have reproduced yourself in those people." And so, I think it's the Holy Ghost, right? The people of love. Love is a value in this house, but so is prayer. It's time that we up the ante and we start reproducing people that are ready to go to battle. Amen. Number two, when others retreat, mighty men hold their ground. I love the story of Shema. His name means astonishment. Shema is out in his bean field, right? So at this time, the Philistines are lording it over Israel. They're in charge. And the Philistines were pretty smart. They would let the Jewish people, the Hebrews, they'd let them plant their fields and they'd wait until harvest time. And then they would swoop in and they would take over their harvest. After all the hard work that you've done, all the back-breaking work of farming, and then all of a sudden somebody else comes and gets your harvest. And Shema had enough of it. Come on, Christian. Have you sold in places? Sold, S-O-W? Sold the field in places where then you allowed the enemy to come in and steal the harvest? Shema said, "Not today. Not happening today." Everybody else deserted. Everybody else is running in the opposite direction, but one man stood in his bean field. And he said, "Come on, because you ain't taking my beans." I feel a little bit like that myself. And especially if there's cornbread with it. You ain't taking my beans and cornbread now. And that said, the Bible says that in that moment, he slew 300 people. That's phenomenal, but it's not human. Huh. It's not human. How many excuses do we give to ourselves? Well, I'm only human. No, you're not. Quit making the excuse that I'm only one. That I'm just a little human. See, you are human until Jesus Christ comes and lives in you. And then he puts his super on your natural. And all things are possible. The Bible says all things are possible to him, but he also says all things are possible to him who believes. Can you believe for the victory? Can you believe that Paris would change? I tell you, some of the happiest people I know are former addicts. Because they know what God has done for them. There's many Christians in the house that they don't fully appreciate what Jesus has done because they hadn't gone to hell and back yet. But these addicts have. They know what life's like on the other side. And they worship him. And they know that if God redeemed them out of that pit, God can redeem you out of that pit. Hallelujah. I'm about to put my glasses on. I can't see. Number three. Mighty men know how to wield the sword. Right? Eliezer. His hand froze to his sword. He killed 800 men in one day. Then the Israelites came in, but if you read that scripture well, it says they only come in to plunder. In other words, after the enemy was defeated, they came in to get the goods. I find that to be a whole lot like the church. Hey, pastor, after you clear the demons out, we'll come after you. I need somebody to go with me to get the demons out. Hallelujah. And if you're so naive to think, well, demons don't exist today, let me introduce you to Jeff Dowdy. Demons do exist today. And they want to attach to people. And many times the things that we see in people that we may not like is actually a demonic spirit that has attached to them, and they need somebody to come along and say, I can pray that off of you, brother. Do you want to go free? Hallelujah. Got any Eliezers in this place? His name means God has helped. Has God helped you? Folks, if you think this is a fairy tale, this is not a fairy tale. This is a book of history. We are telling you accurate stories about people who did phenomenal things. I know some of you are saying, there's no way that's possible. Yes, there's a way, because we serve the way maker. Hallelujah. I said, what are you talking about? Wielding the sword. The sword today is the Word of God. How capable are you at using your sword to defeat the enemy? Because when the devil came to Jesus, what, he didn't try to philosophize with him. He spoke the Word to him, and the devil had no chance when Jesus spoke the Word. The Word coming out of your mouth is just as powerful as when it comes out of Jesus' mouth. Ooh, some of you didn't get that, and some of you don't want it. The Bible says our sword is the Word of God, and the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Has the Lord ever revealed to you what your coworker was thinking? He will. If that person needs deliverance, he will. If you're willing to take the sword up. Number four, mighty men don't look at the odds. They're not politicians. Hallelujah. They don't take the senses. Which side do I stand on? Am I this way or am I that way? Where's the greatest number of people? What do they believe? Because I want to be with the greatest number of people. Christian people, it's time that we determine what we believe. Are you hearing me? It's time that the church quits following and starts leading. God's not called us to follow. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha is out there surrounded by the enemy. And his servant's nervous. What are we going to do, Elisha? What are we going to do? Have you seen how many people are? They're all over the place, Elisha. We can't handle these people. And Elisha said, Jesus or God, would you just open his eyes? And God opened the eyes of Elisha's servant. And he looked up to the hills where he saw the hills are full of people. Folks, let me tell you, there are more for us than are against us. A third of the angels fell, 2/3 were left. Maybe you didn't get that. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I don't care how many people are coming against us, you and God makes the majority. Mighty men are not intimidated by the size of their opponent. You know, Peter tells us that Satan comes as a roaring lion. He's got a big mouth. He's got some sharp teeth. But he is nothing for you to handle. Why? Because in your clay jar resides the Spirit of God. You get that? Benaiah said he saw a lion in the pit. And I would say, good lion. Good lion. Stay right there, buddy. But Benaiah didn't say, stay right there. He saw the lion in the pit and he went in the pit. What kind of crazy man does that? The Bible says he went into the pit and he killed the lion on a snowy day. When are we going to begin to write things about you? Oh, he was looking at divorce. And then he got serious with God. The enemy was coming in and attacking his family. I mean, all hell broke loose against that family until Daddy hit the altar. He went to the pit. He went to the pit where the lion was at. He didn't wait for the lion to come. He said, I see you, enemy. I'm coming at you. Benaiah. It says he slew an Egyptian. I love the King James. And it says, a spectacular man. I think if the Lord was describing me, he would not use those words. This is a man's man. This was a big guy that had a spear and knew how to use it. And Benaiah had a club. Folks, I don't know about you, but you don't bring a gun or a knife to a gunfight. Right? You need to have the right armor. Benaiah said, I don't need a spear. I'll just borrow yours. He wrestled it away from the man and killed the man with his own spear. A spectacular man. Benaiah means Jehovah has built up. Folks, I'm not asking you to be strong in yourself. I'm saying let's get strong in Jesus. Let's get His Word in us. Let's get sensitive to the Spirit of God. Let's begin to be able to hear the voice of God. So if the voice of God says, stand down and be quiet, then stand down and be quiet. But when He says, okay, it's time to attack, then it's time to get it on. I'm so tired of the church being a weasel. I didn't read this part of the story, but when they were in the cave of Adullam, David said, I'm so thirsty for the water of Bethlehem. Man, I know we got water. You ever said that? But nobody's water tastes like my water. We had a house that way one time. Little did we know the sewage was slipping into the water, and it was sweet, I'm telling you. Nobody's water tasted like our water. And these three guys got together. They broke through the Philistines' camp to get David a drink of water. David looked at that and he said, how precious. I can't drink this. I can't drink what you men were willing to give your life for. He made it an offering. He poured it upon the ground. I'm telling you, they were willing to risk their life for the one that they served, just to please Him. When did we lose this attribute of wanting to please God? Is my life pleasing to the Lord? Talked to a couple this week, and I can't divulge what was said, but I'm going to tell you, we sat there and I cried through the whole time. I'm sure they looked at me thinking, this poor guy needs to get his act together. I'm just sitting there supposed to count, supposed to be counseling them. But when I looked at them, I saw the hand of God on their life. I saw that something I had never touched but God, the Holy Ghost, had come down and dealt with men. Changed things in their heart. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to cry every time I hear those reports. It touches me what God will do in our life if we allow Him. I think number 7 is mighty men don't play it safe. For too long, the church has been trying to play it safe. Impossible odds sets the stage for the greatest miracles. Do you hear me? Impossible odds sets the stage for the greatest miracles. How many people believe that God's still in the miracle working business? I believe with all my heart. But sometimes it takes a person that's willing to step out in faith and stand on the Word of God, regardless of what anything says, regardless of how the weather is blowing. I'm standing on the Word, and I will not give up on the promise. Last thing I want to talk to you about is we need to be courageous for Jesus. He says this in Matthew 16, verse 18. It's right after He changed Peter's name to Peter from, what was it? Simon, the reed, changed it to Peter. He said, you are Peter. And He's not saying that He's building His church on Peter, but He's building it upon the rock of Revelation. He says, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, hear me. The church is the greatest thing going outside of the family. God creates the family first. That's why the world is after our family. They're trying to redefine it. They're trying to attack it. But Jesus told us how the family works. And it only prospers when we do it God's way. But he says, on this rock, I'm going to build a church. I'm not going to build a tiny church. I'm not going to build a weak church. I'm going to build a church that it's going to prevail against the gates of hell. I don't care what devil comes at you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We can win. We are the church. And if you think I'm talking about the Assemblies of God or Bridge of Hope, you're totally mistaken. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, not the Mormons. I'm talking about His church. The Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, some of them. Okay, let's move on. Sometimes things slip out of my mouth. Isaiah chapter 41 says, in verse 10, he says this, "Fear not." You know, they say that in your Bible, there's 365 fear nots. One for every day of the year. You know, too many of us think that courage is the absence of fear. No, you're wrong. Courage is looking your fear in the face and saying, I'm not acting on you. I'm acting on the Word. Fear not, he says, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Come on, church. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The right hand of God is the hand of power. You say, well, I just don't feel His strength. Well, maybe you don't feel His strength because you're not doing anything. Get out of the pew and let's work. Let's do something for God. We have a promise. We have a promise that He will strengthen us. That He will help us. That He will uphold us. It ain't about you. See, if God lets you fail, it's not that you're a failure. It says that He's not faithful. And He is faithful. Every word He speaks, we can count on. Are you willing to put Him to the test? Are you willing to see how strong God is in you? God, can we do this? And I think if you ask, He'll say, go get 'em, Tiger. I'm with you, baby. Come on, let's play ball. Let's do something mighty. Let's defeat the enemy. Deuteronomy 31, he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Oh, Lord's told me that about you sometimes. Don't be afraid of them. I say, yeah, but Lord, some of them bite. Don't be afraid of them. Thought just went through my mind. How many people hold your tongue at work because you're afraid of losing your job? A job is not your provider. He is. Be courageous. Don't be afraid of Him. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you. Come on, somebody needs to say amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. I think this is fun. Immovable, always abounding. How can you be immovable and always abounding? We're not moving backwards. We're taking territory, not giving territory up. In the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. When you get to heaven, what are you fixing to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Why should we hear well done? Because we answered yes. Because we answered yes. Let's abound. How long has it been since you've seen the church abound. Come on, that's a solemn question, isn't it? We are to abound in this community, not alone. We don't have to do this. See, if I want to oppose all the other churches, then I'm saying we're big enough to handle it all. I ain't opposing them. I want all the help we can get. I don't want to criticize the other churches. I want to pray for them. Why? Because we want to take our territory for Jesus. There are more addicts that need to be delivered. Amen? I tell you, it's probably the most excited I get when I hear someone stand up and say, today I'm celebrating 13 years sober. Hallelujah. That means 13 years ago God delivered them. And I don't care. There's one lady in our church that she's at 4 months sober. And I say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because one of these days it's going to be a year, and then 2 years, and then 5 years, and then 10 years, and God changed her life. The biblical characteristics of courage is an essential quality for believers as they navigate through the challenges and uncertainties of life. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather it's the willingness to act in obedience to God's calling and purpose. You will always deal with fear. But greater is He. God's not given you that spirit of fear. But the devil will present it often. But just know, you can conquer fear. Thank you, both of you. Billy Graham said this, courage is contagious. When people see you being courageous, they'll think, well, I could do that. I should be courageous too. If God is using them, God can use me. Is that not the image that we want to portray? When a brave man takes a stand, this is Billy Graham, the spines of others often stiffen. Courage in the Bible is called good cheer. Hallelujah. Remember when Jesus come walking on the water? He says, good cheer, fellas. I'm here. They thought it was a ghost. Good cheer, guys. I'm telling you this. Good cheer, church. Good cheer, because Jesus is here. And He's bigger than your problems. You know, I believe that we're still fighting Goliath. But what we got to analyze today, are you hiding? Are you one of the guys hiding? Are you a David saying, you uncircumcised Philistine, how dare you insult the God that I serve? See, you think you're going to take my head off, but the truth of the matter is I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to take your sword, and I'm going to show you how to get ahead. Hallelujah. You want to know how to get ahead in life? Use your sword. You hear me? Use your sword. Would you stand with me? I'm going back in the next couple of weeks back into the book of Acts to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. But I got one more Old Testament story I want to talk to you about next week, about an 8-year-old king who found the Word of God. Ooh, buddy, I'm going to tell you what the church needs today is to find the Word of God. Hallelujah. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you don't know Jesus, right now is the great time to say, Jesus, you are the lover of my soul, and I need a Savior. Oh, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart, change my life, and break the addictions. break off. Redeem me out of that pit, Jesus. I know you can, because the sermon I just heard said that you are all powerful, said that you can do that. And I believe that I heard the word of God, and I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to me right now. It's time for you to meet your Savior. Anyone here, just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. I want to give. Amen. I see your hand. Folks, what I'm calling you today for is to be a person of courage. To be a person that we would say, you know, he or she really is a mighty person of God in the church. If the Spirit of the Lord has spoke to you today, I just want you to come. We're not going to pray individually, but I just want you to come and line up. Not for me. Don't do this for me. Don't say, well, Eric wants to see who was listening. I know who was listening. You do it for your Maker. You do it for God. You do, and you're saying, when you step up here, you're saying, Jesus, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to defeat the enemy. I'm ready to see the mighty move of God. If you're here, come on down. Let's pray. Let's give it a moment. Sing, Dreva. Hallelujah. Come on, just push
if
in.
The truth cuts like an arrow, I will say it anyway.
Here I am, Lord, send me.
If it means that
they'll reject me, Lord, I will still obey. Come on, just step on forward.
Here I am, Lord,
send. Now sing this as a prayer.
If I'm like a arrow,
I'll say it anyway. Here I am, Lord, send me.
Mean
that they'll reject me,
Lord,
I will still obey. Oh, yes, I will. I am, Lord, send me. Life reflect how much I love you.
And
before you even ask, my answer will be yes.
Cause I
love you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this many people would turn our world upside down. You hear me? I'm serious. If you're serious, God's serious. God is serious. He'll come along and stand beside you as we forcefully advance the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I have delivered unto them the word that you have put in my heart. God, I believe that you are speaking to us about getting involved and forcefully advance the kingdom to take our territory out of the enemy's camp into your camp, God. And Father, these people are saying yes to you. They're saying, I will face my fear and I will go forward under the anointing of heaven as the Spirit of God leads. I will follow him. Father, I pray today for an anointing of your Spirit, a double portion of your Spirit to be applied to us. Lord, the devil is strong today. The devil is mouthy today. The devil is making his way. But we know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and that you will never leave us. Father, we know in you we live and move and have our being. And we're asking you today, God, make us that mighty man of God. Give us the courage to stand up, to speak up, and to see the hand of God deliver our county. God, we pray for those in leadership across this county. God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, that you would challenge them, Lord, that they would lead well, Father. Lord, they would not be politicians like the normal politicians, but they would be politicians that is sold out to Jesus Christ and will do your will, Father. Father, help us to help them. Help us to stand with them and forcefully advance the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank you for such a time as this. You have brought us into the kingdom to see maybe the most powerful moment in history. David's mighty men look very powerful, but the end time mighty man is going to make him look like a weakling. The end time powerful Christian is going to defeat the enemy on all sides, God. I thank you, Lord. Greater is he that's in us. We are dependent upon you, but we are listening to the command of the Spirit of God. Speak plainly. Speak boldly. Make it clear, and we will follow you. Father, we pray for Saturday's events as we go out into this community to love people, to tell them there's a better way. I pray, let the Holy Spirit go first. Spirit of God, you be Judah. You go first and we will follow you. We will defeat the works of the enemy in this town. And may it spread through the state and country. God, America needs you. We don't need a politician. We need a man of God. Give us a Josiah. Give us a young man who finds your word and says it's sweeter than the honeycomb. Hallelujah. Father, deal with each person. Show them their assignment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Amen. Where are you at, Brother Denny? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're visiting with us today, thank you so much for coming. We pray the Spirit of God has touched you.
Yeah. Don't forget, Friday night is the ladies' meeting. Saturday is street outreach. And remember what Dale said, it 2:21 every afternoon, stop for a minute and pray for the importance of getting to go and share the gospel with people. If you didn't get a bulletin before, get one, even though it's not 100% accurate, it'll give you a good idea. Friday at noon is a prayer at the fountain as well. And then next Sunday after service is the safety security team. We'll be having a meeting after service next week. And then, okay, Thursday on the 11th. Okay, so there's a barbecue cook-off Thursday on the 11th, 5:30 to 7:30. Let me see, where's Shelby at? Is Shelby here? There you go. Shelby's going to end with the blessing. So if you could raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing.
May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious of you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, with nothing missing and nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.